All right, so to get started, I'm going to change gears a little bit here. Instead of talking about production, I'm going to talk a little bit about consumption. And essentially what I want to do is to introduce a new tool that we have developed at Cotton Incorporated to get a little better idea in terms of what's going on at consumption, with consumption at the consumer level. So I think a lot of you are probably familiar with this picture. Here I'm just showing you what's been going on in terms of movement and global meal use in recent crop years. What you can see is that we have taken, you know, a couple stair steps down, lower. First of those with the world recession in 2008 and 2009, and then we took another step down with the spike in fiber prices in 2010 and after 2010, 2011. You take a look at where we are right now. We're still digging ourselves out of our hole. We're down about 12% compared to where we were at the peak in 2006 and in 2007. There are a lot of factors driving this decrease in consumption. Some of those, as I mentioned earlier, related to the global macroeconomic situation. Some of those also are cotton fiber specific and related to the price spike that we had a couple years ago. But something that I do want to highlight in particular with respect to the macroeconomic issues is the fact that even though the world's economy has been growing at a relatively slow rate in recent history, in terms of global meal use of all fibers, we have seen an increase of about 5%. At the same time, we've seen a decrease of about 12% in terms of cotton meal use. So the implication there is that cotton has lost some share, and I think that's a story a lot of you have some familiarity with. But what I want to talk about today is some of the factors that you may have a little bit less familiarity with, and some of that relates to what's going on at the consumer level. Here I'm showing you some consumer-related data or end-use consumption data. These are all based on the U.S., and what we're taking a look at here is the bale equivalents of U.S. Imports. So what the USDA does, and what I'm showing you here is some USDA ERS data, is they take a look at the import data that comes into the U.S. They apply some conversion factors to come up with an estimate in terms of how much cotton is contained in those imports. When we take a look at these data here, you can see the trend is also lower, some similar to what we saw in terms of global meal use, although we see that the step-down pattern is a little bit less defined. We also see that the decline has been a little bit steeper, where you see the bale equivalents of U.S. apparel imports down about 25% compared to where they were in 2006-2007. When we take a look at these data, we could probably say with a little bit of certainty at least that some of that's driven by macroeconomic conditions. The U.S. economy has been growing at a relatively slow rate. If you take a look at overall bale equivalents of all fiber imports coming into the U.S., they're down about 14%. So there is some share loss here as well. But we are seeing the overall market also being a little bit depressed. While we do have some idea that maybe some macroeconomic factors are driving this, there may be some other issues that are also at play, and that's something that we think we can use this new tool that we've been developing to help better address. So what is the motivation for this new tool, which is based on import data? We're just taking it and chopping it up in a different way. One of the primary motivations is to better explain and explore some of these changes we've seen in end-use consumption in the United States, particularly taking a look at this data in weight or bale equivalence terms. Take a look at some of the most commonly cited data addressing the volume of imports coming to the U.S. Those are often referred to in square meter equivalence terms. That data comes from OTEXA. They do a good job of making that readily available to us, which is great, but a problem is that those data are derived from unit counts. So when we're taking a look at the bale equivalents, or you want to get an idea about how much bales are actually being used by consumers, you probably don't want to take a look at a count of socks or shirts, because you may see some changes in the weights potentially of those socks and shirts, which would introduce some bias or some inconsistency in terms of using unit counts as a measure of end-use consumption. Another issue with the OTEXA data is that the conversions they use to go from unit counts to the square meter equivalents, they can be inconsistent even when you take a look at similar product categories. So for example, if you take a look at a cotton dominant knit shirt using the OTEXA conversion factors, that factor indicates the square meter equivalence for that cotton dominant shirt is about half of what it is for a man-made fiber shirt. The reason for that is that these square meter equivalence conversions were developed when the U.S. had a quota system for apparel imports. The motivation was a little bit different. It's not the same as what we're trying to take a look at when we're trying to address bale equivalents of what consumers are actually using. So weight data is probably more important and more relevant. So what we did is we're driving this weight-driven database. We think this is great because it enables analysis of a range of aggregations. There is some data that's out there. We already showed you some of the figures from the USDA. But since we did do this with at the nuts and bolts level, we can play with it however we want to. So we can take a look at some of the MFA categories. So these are general categories like men's and boys' knit shirts that I was referencing earlier from the OTEXA data. We can take a look at more precise levels, going down to the HS level, which is the most precise import data we have available to us. So we can zoom in on t-shirts as opposed to knit shirts. And also we can define our own aggregations. So something that we can play with as well. So if we want to take a look at the women's apparel market, we can do that by assigning codes that feed into our own database. So these are all things that we are looking to do with this new tool that we have set up. So overview of the database, just real quickly, some of the nuts and bolts of what we're doing. We have weight data available to us from the Trade Commission going back to 1996. This is available, the most detailed import product data that we have available to us, which are those 10-digit HS codes. And over this time period, we have more than 2,000 of those 10-digit HS codes that we can take a look at. In addition, we have 110 of those aggregated multi-fiber agreement codes. So we have a lot of ways we can slice and dice this data if we'd like to. We take this raw data from the Trade Commission. We pair it with the same factors that the USDA uses. At Cotton Incorporated, that's important for us too because it's relevant to also how our budget is derived. So it's in addition to everything we can do here in terms of analysis, it's also good for us in terms of budget, potentially budget planning. So here I'm just going to show you really briefly a few of the results that we've derived or how we could potentially take a look at some of the data that we pull from this database. I will admit right now we are sort of evolving from the proof of concept level to the analysis stage. So this is just a few things that I've gleaned off the top of our database right now. If you are interested in taking a deeper look at this, I think it's also more appropriate to have that on a piece of paper in front of you because it will be pretty data intensive. So if you want to take a look at the belt-wide paper that will be coming out, you'll have a chance to look at this in a more detailed fashion. But what I did here is just to pull a few examples to give you an idea about how some of this data really matters. So I'm showing you here our data that we pulled from our database. We're taking a look at the women and girls bottoms category, which is one of those MFA categories. That top row that I'm showing in a table, that's the unit counts. You take a look at the change in unit counts of women and girls bottoms imported between 2013 and 2007, you can see that we have had an increase in terms of the number of bottoms that have been imported. However, as I mentioned earlier, this can be a little bit misleading when we're taking a look at the actual end-use consumption of cotton fiber. If you take a look at the cotton content, so here we took those HS codes, we applied the USDA conversion factors to get to bale equivalents. When we did that, we see these categories represent about 1 million bales or about 900,000 bales if you take a look at 2013 data. Take a look at the change over the past several years. They have a decline of about 7% in terms of the bale content. So once again, it matters if you're taking a look at weight terms or you're taking a look at count terms in terms of the interpretation. And one of the reasons why this matters is we get some other variables in there too. So with this new database we have not only the weight data, we also have the unit count data. We can put those two together to come up with average weight per item. And we can see that there has been some thinning of the fabrics over the past couple years, and that has led to some decrease in bale equivalents as well. So we need to pay attention to share, but we also need to pay attention to average product weight because that matters how much cotton's getting used at consumers, by consumers. Here I'm showing you another example just to give you another idea about sort of how this data has changed around a little bit. I pulled an HS code for you as opposed to an MFA code. Take a look at men's t-shirts. We have seen some really strong growth in terms of the count of t-shirts being imported since 2007. Not exactly sure why that may be taking place, but just want to illustrate some of the variability that we do potentially have in this data. Even though we did have this big increase in the count data, you take a look at the changes in the bale equivalents, it's relatively small, with less than a 10% increase despite that 45% increase in counts. Once again, a reason for that is the fact that things are getting lighter. Take a look at t-shirts, they also got lighter by about 10%. So we need to pay attention not only to counts, we also need to pay attention to weight and average weight per product. All that's relevant to end-use consumption. So I promise you I'll be quick. So we just go ahead and get into some of the future work we're looking at. Once again, I was just giving you a very high-line sampling of some of the results that we can be pulling from this database. I think to really get a good understanding of what's going on in imports in relation to bale equivalents, you need to take a look at a holistic approach, and that will be available in the belt-wide paper. Goal of this is to map the importance of product categories to identify key opportunities and threats for where we can potentially capture additional bales and also where we may lose the most bales. And we want to compare, I think something that would also be interesting too is to compare the relative effect of the loss of share in bale terms compared to the loss in product weights in bale terms as well. Because both of those are negative factors, and maybe ranking those could be something interesting, could help guide some of our research at Cotton Incorporated. And finally, something else that we'd like to do is to pair this data with the Retail Monitor. If you're not familiar with Retail Monitor, it is something that we do at the retail level. We conduct audits, so we contract firms to go out and go into stores across the United States to take a look at what those labels are saying, what the fiber content is, where those garments are coming from. That's really important because that can give us a very detailed idea of cotton share, and that's something that we can use to even make these results even more informative to us. All right, so with that, just a brief overview of something new that we've got that we probably will be sharing with you guys in the future. Any questions, comments? I welcome them. Please.
It's interesting what you said about the fiber weight. So I remember in 2010 when after the cotton prices started rising, we were told by brands and retailers that one of the ways that they were going to deal with rising fiber prices was actually, in a sense, cheapen the product, which could take weight out of it. And so weight to some extent is related to the economy, but at the same time it was also related to fiber prices because they could absorb the additional cost. So it'd be interesting to see the analysis of on the average fiber weight within the category. Is it the mix within the category, or is it the weight per product? You know what I'm saying, like, in other words, bottoms can mean more than one kind of product category. So is it just the mix shifting, or is it just the weight within all components of that?
It's going to be both, but we can do the best that we can. So we've got 10-digit HS code data. So we've got the most precise data that we can do. So we do the best that we can. So, like for a T-shirts example, this would be T-shirts that are not undershirts, but there's still a lot of variety in terms of the T-shirt qualities. But we can do that. When you talk about the mixing, that'd be more of a factor when we get to the MFA categories. There could be some switching from jeans to khakis, something like that. But we can still pick that up because we do have categories specific to jeans. So a major advantage with this tool is that we can make our own pie.
It's great because we have one of the things we're doing, as you know, from the marketing side, is we have other information that says the consumer is becoming aware of some of the cheapening of products. Mm-hmm. We'll be taking this kind of information along with that into a Retail Monitor data to make the case that you better be thinking about switching back or beating the product up again because the consumers are beginning to recognize, they don't know exactly why, but they just know something is different now than what it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And this should dovetail pretty nicely with the consumer comments stuff, especially if we can get the product categories where we see the biggest complaints to, if that lines up, where we see the biggest changes in weights. So hopefully that'll all pan out.